The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back. Lord knows they'll try to silence our voices. They'll pretend to be patriots, fighting for fairness for all. But they're not even fit to hold office. What they believe doesn't fit with freedom at all. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. Not stick us and bleed us and ransom my future.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller, coming to you live from the studios, Republic Broadcasting Network, on this Thursday, October 8, 2009. And we have a little surprise for you today. Well, I was surprised. I was going to interview Galen Ross by phone. He showed up with his son this afternoon, few minutes before airtime, and I'm very glad to have him in studio. It sounds better that way. Well, if you don't know who Galen Ross is, he's the author of the best-selling reference works, Who's Who of the Elite, The Elite Don't Dare Let Us Tell the People, and the groundbreaking volume, The Elite Serial Killers of Lincoln, JFK, RFK, and MLK. A graduate of A&M University and a former registered and certified professional engineer, served as an intelligence officer in the U.S. Army Security Agency. I guess that would be the big brother to the CIA and part of the NSA in South Korea. After his military service, he had a distinguished career in the petroleum industry, in plant management, and as an international management consultant working in Japan, Mexico, Canada, England, Iran, and pretty much all over the planet. He's now spending all of his available time writing about the elite, who would love to create a global union if we let them. Galen, thank you for being here today.
Hey, it's a pleasure being with you, John.
Well, you've been doing this for a lot of years.
Since about 1992.
And I've seen you in and around Austin. If I had a dollar for every time I saw you, I could probably retire right now. Now, you come out with a new book, What the Elite Have Done to America, and I Like Solutions, and you say, and How to Fix It. We've got some problems in this country. we're up to our eyeballs here with problems. But I've said this, Galen, on air before. If we had an honest money system in this country, about 90% of what you see right now would up and disappear. Just up and just blow away. Now, we have a lot of varied interests out there making money. They have agendas. There's all sorts of dark, dastardly things going on in the name of the almighty dollar. Well, we're going to be talking about that almighty dollar, which is not almighty anymore. So we'll be talking to Mr. Galen Ross on that subject right after this break. Stay tuned.
If you have more than $25,000 in debt and are facing foreclosure, we can stop the foreclosure in one day and get you out of debt in 90 days without making a single payment. Did you know that debt settlement is illegal in at least 7 states and that if you hire an attorney to help you get out of debt, you'll pay 7 to 10 times more than legally necessary? The system is rigged. These guys get kickbacks from your creditors while charging you up front to get into nothing more than just another payment plan. Look, this isn't brain surgery. You just need the right information and the right help and answers to your questions. No clients of zero debt in 90 days have had to negotiate with creditors or go to court. Our proven system stops collection calls in 1 minute. Since 1993, we have helped over 80,000 people get out of debt without making a single payment to creditors. Get the right information today and get out of debt in just 90 days. Ask about our $25,000 guarantee and your free copy of 7 Secrets to Debt Freedom when you call 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256 or visit ZeroDebtGuarantee.com today.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
All right. What we're talking about here is the elite's negative impact on the United States and the rest of the world. Now, who are the elite? The elite's anyone's a member of the Bilderberg, the Council on Foreign Relations, Trilat Commission, the people that are closely associate with these members, Skull and Bones, you name it. Now, Galen, I've never been one for secret societies or, you know, a little initiations or rituals. I think it's counterproductive and anti-Christian, but we have a problem here in this country, and we have a runaway government that is slated to increase 3 to 4 times in size. The dollar is on its deathbed. Countries around the world, the way we used to run things in this country, the government had bills to pay. They would simply sell the treasuries and sell the bonds out there, and, well, they wouldn't pay down necessarily the principal on that money, but they would certainly pay the holders of those bonds the interest. So it was a money-making thing. Another thing that was there was also the Bretton Woods Agreement, that everything was on the dollar, and that's very closely tied to oil, a commodity. So bringing this up to today, now we've all witnessed what has happened in the last couple of years. We had Phil Graham that decided that the restraint on the speculative market out there had to be removed. There was a lot of money to be made, and these were trustworthy people, and away we went. And to the tune, some people will argue to the tune of over a quadrillion, which is $1,000 trillion.
That's right.
Okay, and some people would argue, well, that's kind of double accounting, so it might be only $500 trillion.
I'm thinking, right.
I got a calculator sitting right here. I can't do $50 trillion on this thing.
Yeah, you go into the E's after a while.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, you go into error. Okay. All right. But backing this down here in the United States, we've got some massive debts. We thought it was a good idea to do Social Security, a wonderful idea to do Medicare and Medicaid, and these are government-run operations. It astounds me that people are actually considering letting the government run health care now, since they've done such an illustrious job with everything else. But be that as it may, that's a battle that's going on in Washington right now. But in this country, we're on the hook for trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars. Last year, Ron Paul, when he was running for president, made the statement to the crowd, and Galen, I watched this with my own eyes. After he said, we're $60 trillion in the hole, the camera pans to the audience, and they're all sitting there looking like characters in George Romero's old black and white movie, Night of the Living Dead.
Right.
They're sitting there, their mouths are dropped, there's really no expression on their face. If somebody were sitting there telling me, I'm running for the highest office in the land, and by the way, folks, we're $60 trillion in a hole, I would have said, I probably would have interrupted the proceeding and say, excuse me, can you repeat what you just said? I don't believe it. How much are we in debt, Galen?
It's years past since he did said that. And so now it's somewhere between $75 and $100 trillion.
Okay, so we have a financial crisis in this country, started by derivatives, and they keep shoving this off to the banks making a few bad loans on real estate. And then the derivative people kind of got involved in this, and out of these bad loans, they chopped them all up and sold them worldwide. And as I said earlier, some would argue over $1,000 trillion. Some are arguing, oh, it's a double book entry, $500 trillion. That stuff, that toxic, as they like to refer to, those toxic assets are still out there. They're not being redeemed. They're dead in the water. They have no value whatsoever. Now, we've got a really imaginative group of people, Ben Bernanke, Paulson when he was head of the Treasury, and now we have Tim Geithner. So we have all these fine people that said, well, look, we got to bail out the banks. If we don't bail out the banks, Wall Street's going to fail, mainstream people out there and Main Street will fall on its face. So we necessarily have to bail these banks out.
And it all really started by Robert Rubin. Robert Rubin and Paulson both were ex-CEOs of Goldman Sachs. That's really the secret behind it.
Mm-hmm.
But they completely deregulated the financial industry, and like nobody was watching them. And so they created these derivatives, credit default swaps, and all this magic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out, and I've got a table in this book on page 16 where it says J.P. Morgan Chase had in 2007, September 29, 2007, had total assets of $1.2 trillion. But they had $91.7 trillion of derivatives outstanding, which means that that was 76.4 times their net worth.
So, and we're saying 76 to 1.
Right.
Okay, that's a heck of a ratio.
Well, it's called leveraging. Or
No, it's called thievery, but well, for the sake right. of this conversation, we'll call it leverage.
And the proper term for it is a Ponzi scheme.
Right.
If you think Bernie Madoff pulled off a big one, the banks really have a big one.
Well, and that's what they like to do in the news media is let's go after Bernie Madoff because, well, he made off with $60 billion or something. That is literally chicken feed in the greater Ponzi scheme.
That's right.
Yeah. There's a lot of people running out the back door with a lot of money.
But if Morgan Chase has $1.2 trillion in assets and they have, say, $92 trillion outstanding in derivatives, that is a Ponzi scheme. they couldn't sell all their assets and clean up these derivatives. And then you get even another case is they created what they called credit default swaps, where they can actually insure these credit derivatives against loss. And on in June of 2008, there was $4.6 trillion of credit default swaps outstanding.
Now, okay, so we take a bad gamble. We're doing a Ponzi scheme. And then we insure against a loss on that Ponzi scheme.
Right.
And they know this is going to blow up. Who's the insurer on this?
The public.
I had to ask the question. And I already knew the answer to that. But, yeah, we're on the hook for the $24 trillion, too. You know what I found fascinating? And I haven't spoken to you in quite some time. When we had the bailout of the banks and just about any other private corporation out there, we've got to do this because if we don't, there's going to be massive unemployment. You know, people are going to lose their homes, they're going to lose their jobs. It'll be absolute economic chaos in this country. Well, as I looked at this, they want to bail out GM. And GM workers were all for it. Yeah, I need my job. I need to keep eating and heating and paying my mortgage and driving my Chevrolet car that I have with the bank here.
Along with Chrysler.
And Ford was pretty smart. They saw this coming, and they sold off a bunch of inventory, had some cash flow going on there. But they still, I guess this was ceremonial that they stuck their hand out to take a few billion as well.
I don't know whether they took any money or not.
I think they took a little bit of money.
Maybe so.
But they didn't really need it.
Right.
Henry, if we know history and we know the guy that started this company, Henry Ford, folks, you would go a long way in understanding why Ford was the only one that really wasn't in trouble. During the last depression, and I'll say last depression, Franklin Delano Roosevelt had a problem with Henry Ford paying his people too much. And he called him up and he said, Mr. Ford, he said, you've got to cut your wages. He said, look, sir, this is a private corporation. I would beg you to butt out of private business. You have no say in this. I will take care of my own business. You take care of yours.
And he paid his workers $5 a day, which was a lot of money in those days. And the reason he said he paid them $5 a day is so that they could afford to buy the cars that he built.
Well, and this is pretty shrewd. I mean, who wants to work in this country at a job that you're not earning enough money that you could possibly, I'm not talking about multi-million dollar yachts here.
Right.
We're talking about normal, durable, or consumable goods.
Right.
Who wants to work for a company and don't make enough money to buy the product that you're making?
That's right.
So it was a very shrewd move on his
part. He was a genius.
Yeah. Well, okay. So we got the bailouts going on. They're too big to fail as well. It has been suggested, and I'm jumping ahead a little bit because I want to stay with these numbers so people understand the Ponzi scheme and exactly what's been done. I looked at this and I said, wait a minute, this has not been an accident. Back in 99, and you mentioned Rubin and also other politicians that dropped the controls on the speculative market, got that out of the way by 2000, and here we're just rolling. Well, it wasn't until I think about a year and a few months later, we had Enron, you know, that little company we
right.
got here in Texas,
right.
that was out there speculating on the price of electricity out in California. Now, Enron itself wouldn't have gone belly up except for one thing. They couldn't float the kind of scheme that they were pushing, and they were blaming everybody else on the energy costs when it was actually themselves. And Gray Davis, by the way, got hung with this because he came out and he said, look, this ain't my fault. Well, I got Arne Schwarzenegger that comes in, and Arne says, oh, we got to dump Gray. He's an idiot. He doesn't know what he's doing. Gray Davis knew what was going on, and he tried to stop it in California and was unable to do it. So we have Enron going in speculating the cost of electricity. Businesses, I mean, it's not been really totaled up how many billions of dollars that people lost in business because they were having rolling brownouts.
Right.
There were people retirement age that couldn't afford to pay their electricity and getting it cut off. It was absolutely insane. So this was only like a year plus after the deregulation hit. All right, we're going to get into this further with my guest today, Galen Ross. We will do that right after this break.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cartavite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right? To fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work, we can just put them on Cartavite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them. And what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect, that yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect. And most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut. It's working on the liver. It's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cartavite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cartavite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
Attention RBN listeners, the Freeze-Dry Guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs, simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees, but we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
When my son started having behavior problems, the total transformation techniques were like the instruction manual on how to deal with him. We got immediate results.
Ever wish your kid came with an instruction manual? When he's disrespectful, defiant, or even abusive? Do you know how to fix it? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'll show you how to change your child's behavior right now with the Total Transformation. The program that helps you fix every behavior problem under the sun. Defiance, backtalking, lying, acting out in school, even problems with ADD and ADHD. There's no screaming, no fighting, no frustration. The Total Transformation is the program I've used for over 30 years to solve even the worst behavior problems. Your child will listen to you again, and you'll get peace and sanity back into your home. I guarantee it.
Call now and get How to Turn Your Child's Attitude Around in 1 minute or less free with your order. 1-800-656-4806. 1-800-656-4806. Call now. 1-800-656-4806.
All right. So here we are. We've got derivatives. We'll be polite. We'll call it leverage. We got a lot of money out there. We'll come up with little creative things like credit default swaps. And these are derivative contracts. And if you make a bad bet, don't worry. You're covered. We'll insure that gambling. It never occurred to me. Maybe I should run an insurance business in Vegas for people to go in there and throw dice.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Never mind.
That would be a credit default swap.
That would be. Yes, it would be. Now, I'd have to work out something with Guido that runs the Vegas casino, but at any rate.
Right.
So we have all this money and all the default and everything else that's going on out there. Now, there is a problem here because, Galen, the government doesn't produce anything. They just absorb and then redistribute. Now, we've got the banks, and we've got the IRS. And I've said before on this program that the IRS is the surety note to the bankers. I've never yet gone into a bank, asked for a loan, and they didn't ask me what collateral I had. And I didn't see these sharp little bankers going into the private business of printing and loaning the money without finding a way to make sure that the government was going to pay that money back. Most people looked at the income tax. Oh, well, the government needs that to function the government, to meet their obligations. That's not what was happening there, was it?
No.
Okay.
In fact, the income tax law says that the money collected by the income tax is deposited in the Federal Reserve, not in the Federal Treasury.
Okay, so we're writing checks here. So we're taking in roughly, and now this is not an accurate figure, but roughly before the recession, as they're calling it, hit, the government was taking in over a trillion dollars through the IRS every year. And that meant people were out there earning money, and they were paying their dues to the government for the luxury of benefit. You know how that story is. But now we got a problem because the economy is falling, tax revenues are falling. The banks, they have borrowed all this money through the Treasury. Who's going to be paying this back?
The only way they can pay it back is by increasing their interest rates and their fees and charging it to you and I.
But wait a minute. I'm working with a dollar that's worth, and there's been some argument, it's 4 cents, it's 2 cents. Well, let's just say that it's pretty well shot. Okay, so now I'm working with a dollar. There's too many of them out there, too many goods chasing, or too few goods chasing too many dollars. So we've got a falling economy. The revenues are going down. The IRS isn't getting theirs. Now, the banks out there, they got loaned all this money at low interest rates, by the way. But we're on the hook. The American taxpayer is on the hook for this. Now, some would like to call it fascism. Others call it nationalism. You nationalize, we basically nationalized, the government nationalized General Motors, Chrysler, and whatever else, except the banks. They're not nationalized. They're still private.
That's right.
Okay. Now, your book, you have been talking with Ellen Brown.
Right.
And there is a solution to this banking problem right now. And you and I were talking before the program, and I'm trying to get my little gray matter wrapped around this concept. But you have come out and said that what we should do is nationalize the banks. In other words, the government take over the banks, and let's X out the private ownership here.
Well, first of all, you nationalize the Federal Reserve.
Okay.
And you just call it the new Federal Reserve, or you change the term if you want to. But it's all right if Bernanke still runs it. But he salutes the U.S. Congress, not the international bankers.
Okay. All things being equal, I'm going to trust the Congress critters over in a district of criminals to monitor
right.
the bank. Okay. That has its own set of inherent problems. But just for the sake of argument, let's move on here. Okay.
All right. But say we nationalize the Federal Reserve, and we nationalize all federal banks, and then because the Constitution says Congress has sole right to create money and credit and determine the value thereof.
Right.
So you can't leave the state banks and credit unions the ability to create money and credit, which they can do with a 10% reserve
mm-hmm.
practice.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to raise that up to 100%. So they can then the state and banks and credit unions can loan out what they have in deposit.
Okay, now let's stop right there because now we're talking about state banks. They're no longer allowed, and I hear that they're going to knock this down to zero. The requirement was by law you have to have whatever you've got floating out there or whatever you've got on your books, you've got to have 10% cash
in reserve.
Now, so now we're saying that the state banks would have to have 100% of what they're showing on their books in cash reserve.
Right.
Okay.
And now they can loan that out.
Okay.
At interest.
All right.
But they don't see right now if you deposit $1,000 in a bank, immediately that bank can loan out $900 of that $1,000 to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
And then they take the $900 and put it in a safety deposit box or savings account so they can loan out $990.
Right.
And you keep going on and on so that 1,000 originally creates $9,000 of new money.
Out of that $1,000
that right.
Joe Blow from Kokomo deposited
that's,
in the
that's
bank.
That's how the banks create money.
Okay, let's hold that thought right there, and then we'll pick up from that. My guest today, Galen Ross. The book, folks, is What the Elite Have Done to America and How to Fix It. We'll continue with this right after the break.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Utopia Silver believes it is your God-given and constitutionally protected right to make your own health care decisions however you choose. You have a right to truthful information about natural alternatives for healing and preventing illness. We don't sell drugs or tell you just to ask your doctor about expensive medications that only manage disease symptoms and have side effects that lead to still more medications in an endless spiral. Instead, we provide you with honest information and quality products so you don't have to depend on drugs. Utopia Silver is known for fighting for health freedom, but we also make and distribute some of the best colloidal silver, colloidal gold, and other top-notch supplements available anywhere. Take charge of your health and support our health freedom battles by visiting us at utopiasilver.com. That's UTOPIASILVER.com or call 888-213-4338. Again, 888-213-4338. This has been Taylor, and you will be appreciated in Utopia.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
They say 50 is the new 40. I like that idea. But it won't change the facts about prostate health. At my age, you have to understand what the prostate affects. Urine flow, intimacy, sleeping habits, overall quality of life. So if you're like me and you want to give your body nutritional support for a healthy prostate, then take what I take. All natural beta prostate. Now, many men try Saw Palmetto, but Beta Prostate has hundreds of times more healthy plant sterols. In Europe, doctors prescribe plant sterols for prostate support, but here you can get them in non-prescription Beta Prostate. This is targeted nutrition, and it works with your body. So why wouldn't you take this amazing nutrient? Here's a number you can call to try Beta Prostate risk-free. Call 800-790-6293. Your satisfaction is guaranteed or you get your money back. 1-800-790-6293. That's 1-800-790-6293.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
Okay, we are back. All right. Galen Ross, we're down at the state level here. Okay, so we come in with some new rules and regulations, and we say that these state banks have got to carry enough cash on hand to cover what's on their books.
Well, cash or other capital.
Okay. All right.
Right.
Okay.
Real estate or other properties.
And all things being equal and stable. the banks are carrying a lot of mortgages right now that ain't valued the way they used to be.
Right.
And that's going to be happening more and more with commercial real estate. We'll get into that subject matter as well. Okay, so here we are at the bank. Where do we go from here?
But you see, the taxpayers paid about $927 billion in taxes in the year 2005.
Mm-hmm.
And so if the total assets of the banks in 2005 was about $7.4 trillion, and at the regular, say, 5% interest, that means that they could earn $185 billion in interest, just the banks.
Okay.
And then no telling how much the Federal Reserve loaned out at that time, but all the interest earned by the Federal Reserve at that time would go into this calculation. But when you start adding all these things up, total interest earned by the Federal Reserve and the federal banks would be $92 billion more than total income tax paid by all U.S. citizens.
Okay, so what we're saying here is if the IRS, with what they've collected, we would actually have a surplus of $92 billion.
That's right. If we own the Federal Reserve and we own the federal banks,
okay,
the interest that they would earn would be enough that we would have $92 billion left over.
Okay.
After we eliminate income tax paid by everybody at all levels.
Now, and most people are thinking, well, $92 billion, that's a lot of money. But, of course, we've got, and it's not even a fair assessment. I've heard it said that our politicians in Washington spend like drunken sailors. Galen, I've never met a sailor in my life that once he turned his pockets inside out, he went to borrow more money to go.
That's right. He just went back to the ship.
There you go. That's right. He went back to the ship. Okay. So, all right. So we, and how exactly do we go about doing this?
Congress has legal power to just have the House create the bill and then the Senate come up with a combined bill, and then both of them together vote on it, a bill that nationalizes the Federal Reserve and all federal banks, and the president signs it, and it's all over. That's the way the laws work.
Well, if we continue down this track, it's going to be all over, and some people would argue it's already over. Now, the global elite, at least the factions working inside this country, and Council on Foreign Relations, and Galen, a lot of people to this day do not believe that the Council on Foreign Relations is the sister group to the Round Table in England, and their whole sole purpose here was to move us toward a world government.
That's right.
So we have the other clan out there, the Bilderberg Group, of which, if you go down the list, and you've produced this list, that you go through our Congress critters and presidents. Yeah, right. There's the DVD sitting right there. You go down the laundry list here of the people that are involved in accounts on foreign relations and the Bilderbergers and the trilateralists. These are groups that are not operating in their political capacity for the benefit of the people of this country. Is that a fair assessment?
They're essentially following the orders of the number one at the top is David D. Rothschild, and his business is in Paris.
Okay.
And under him is David Rockefeller, and he's number two in the world, and he is an agent of the Rothschilds. And between in 1992, the Rockefeller family was worth $11.48 trillion. And at the same time, the Rothschild family was worth about a quadrillion dollars. Now, where'd they get that money? Because they control or own all the central banks of the world except about five nations around the world.
Now, have you seen Tex Mars's new DVD?
No, I haven't.
Rothschild. Well, I'm glad you're here today. We'll get you a copy.
Okay.
Tex came out with this DVD, Rothschild's Choice, talking about Barry Sartorio, also known as President Barack Hussein Obama. and I once heard it described. The presidents that are in office, they are not randomly selected. There's not a group of people out there and go, well, you know what? I think this guy would be the best manager, because that's all a president is. He's a manager. He manages his cabinet. He manages the crises of the country and so on and so forth. Barry wouldn't have been my choice, that's for sure. But it's these groups that bring these people forth and said, hey, we got the money. We'll buy the commercial time, we'll hire the writers, the PR people, the spin artists, and whatever else, and here's your choice. We had a choice last time of Ron Paul, we had Barack Obama, and then we had John McCain.
All right.
Let me see. Out of that three, who would I think would be the better president? Well, you and I know the answer to that.
The only one I voted for.
Yeah, exactly. And he took the Hippocratic Oath, first, do no harm,
right,
being a medical doctor. Okay. So, all right. So, and the analogy was that, you know, it's like going to McDonald's. You drive up to one window and you order, Then you drive up to another window and you pay. And then you drive up to the other window to get your order. But the presidents are nothing but like little window dressing.
They sell their soul to Lucifer in order to be allowed to be president.
And who is this split-tongued, silver-lying devil?
He's represented by the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers.
See, I already knew the answer to that question before I asked.
Right.
Okay. So, all right. But I looked at this situation, Galen, and the only thought that kept ringing through my head was right from the beginning that this was constructive fraud. And some have suggested that, in fact, that this was done intentionally. Because it doesn't take a rocket scientist to understand that there's only so many different things that you can get creative with money, okay?
Right.
Knowing that it's a fractional reserve system, knowing that it's interest-bearing notes, it is debt, okay? So they knew that there was a finite, there was a brick wall that they were going to hit. They didn't just hit it, they went through it. So now we're facing a situation now in this country. $24 trillion has been pumped out of the Treasury to bail out every mother and her uncle, AIG and Ford and Chrysler and the banks and everybody else. And congratulations, we're all shareholders. I opt for the public option on this deal. If I want to be a shareholder, I'll go out there and purchase the shares myself. I don't want my government doing it in my behalf.
Right.
Socialism, fascism, there's a whole bunch of different words for that. But it ain't right according to our Constitution and our republic, the law. So we have a problem here. Now we've created a situation that we're now going to nationalize this bank. And we're going to have the Congress looking out, and they're basically going to be the fox in the henhouse, guarding the chicken eggs and the chickens and all that other stuff. That in itself is enough to keep me awake at night.
Yeah, but we need to back up a couple of chapters in order to solve this. First of all, you have to clean up the voting process. We know that it's absolutely a fraud. And the only way to do that is to have paper ballots at every precinct and have the ballots counted by representatives of all parties, independent, Democrats, Republicans, and then record that in the local newspaper before it is ever passed up to the next level.
Okay, I'm gonna start at the top rung of the stepladder here.
Right.
Okay. All right, so we have honest voting, but we've got these critters that are being put forth by the power elite and the money masters.
Yeah, but the answer to the next step is we need to eliminate the two-party system. The Democrats and Republicans are always fighting one another. If the Democrats are in power, they produce a bill and the Republicans fight it.
Right.
And if the parties are reversed, then it works the same way. So they do nothing for the average citizen. What they do is either against the other party or for their party or for special interest. And so if we can get enough independent people running for offices, and a great ratio would be to have one independent party 25% of Congress, a second independent party with 25% of Congress, the Democrats 25% and Republicans 25%, and then you lose the two-party system.
Okay, well, okay, now we're into redoing the banks and then we're redoing the political system. Well, didn't Mr. Paul himself last year, did I hear him correctly, Galen, say that it's the Constitution? What difference would it make if we had 15 parties or one party in this country? You know, what has been set up for the American people, and this is all that they have to consider. We're going to give you a candidate, and we're going to tell you how great he is, and this is why he's better than the other guy. All right. Okay. There's a lot of people that, if they do vote, they don't track the track record of the candidate that, well, I guess I'm going to vote for the lesser of the two evils. But Ron Paul suggested that I don't care who you are, Democrat, Republican, Independent, whatever, get out the rule book. It's called the Constitution. And Ron Paul, one day on my program, he said this, Galen. He said, you know, there is actually, when you propose a bill in Congress, that there's actually a block there that you have, that you must fill in. It's a requirement that says what section or what part of the Constitution does this fall under. And he said they're not filling it out anymore. If they do, they put emergency need or whatever.
Right. You know, miscellaneous.
There you go. Good word for it. Miscellaneous. So rather than do the fandango here, and, you know, we have enough upheaval in this country, we wouldn't have the problems out of the Fed right now if they were following the law.
Right.
Okay, now, having said that, I see the states, the several states. I see the Confederation that has been brought under the umbrella. But the funny thing about power, it seeks more power. Now the Fed is telling the states what to do. You know, what to do. I mean, and they do it by different ways. The proverbial carrot, you know, federal funding for your schools and for your highways and for your this and for your that. And they basically control the state governors or the various houses in the states. I have argued that it is time for the states to truly, let's not just pass an amendment here or a House joint resolution in our state legislatures that says, wait a minute, 10th Amendment, 10th Amendment. You know, now that things are so bad, I'm screaming 10th Amendment. But as I see this, we're all in this thing together, I see the real key to the situation of controlling the Fed is by the states. And putting, and first off, we put up a stop sign at the state line and go, okay, you people have proven to us that you're pretty much out of control. You've got a bunch of good ideas up there, and none of them have panned out. So we're going to take back what is, by Constitution, relegated to us, and we're going to ask the Fed to back out. Now,
well, now, that brings up a good point. What if the Congress were to nationalize the Federal Reserve and all states nationalize all federal banks within their state? Now, North Dakota is the only state that has its own state bank, and they loan money to other banks within the state.
And from what I understand, North Dakota is not in serious trouble.
No, their unemployment is something like 4 or 5%.
And basically, what it was in the best of times in this country, nationwide.
Right.
Which, by the way, and people, Galen, it's funny what people become. They come to believe in this country that during the high times where we have full unemployment, it really wasn't full unemployment because we had at least 4 to 5% of the population at any given time that wasn't working, and that was acceptable by the Fed for one reason. Because if they would have had full unemployment, there would have been too much money out there, and it would have caused inflation.
That's right. Yeah.
On top of the devaluation that their debt and their interest and all that other. Okay.
No, it's just like the Fed accepts 5% unemployment, just like when we send our young boys and girls overseas to die, a certain percentage of them are expected to die.
And well, they call those acceptable losses.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, why do we have that?
Well, we've had World War One and World War One Part Two. We've had Korea, we've had Vietnam, and we've had Iraq and Afghanistan. You know, we've been in Afghanistan, 10 years now?
Over 8 years.
Just over 8 years, okay. And the mission statement was never made clear.
No.
We're supposedly there to fight Al-Qaeda and to do away with the nasty Taliban, but we haven't done either.
Well, the reason was they blew up the Twin Towers and they bombed or they ran a plane into the Pentagon. Now, right. If you take the 19 so-called terrorists that were in these airliners, 16 of them were from Saudi Arabia. Why didn't we invade Saudi Arabia?
Well, that's a good question. Well, Daddy Bush had dealings with Osama bin Laden's, what was his older brother? The Bushes were in business. As a matter of fact, when 9/11 happened, the airways were shut down in this country, and the only jets that were flying were jets flying the bin Ladens out of this damn country.
That's right.
We have been at the behest, and we're going to come back to the subject matter at hand here, but I'm glad to have you here because it's great to have a conversation with somebody that knows what the hell's going on. We have been, our Congress has allowed the moneyed interest, oil interest, to control basically our economy, just like the banks do, by way of foreign oil. Since the 70s, the same mantra, well, we've got to be independent. It's too important for national security and our economy that we be held hostage by OPEC and its member nations. Hello? We've got enough oil right now up in Gull Island, North Slope, to power this country for its present needs, along with natural gas, for the next 200 years.
But beyond that, there are four or five oil fields within the U.S. south of Canada that have enough reserve to carry us for another 250 years.
So we had this little Bretton Woods agreement that, the world currency, the reserve, is going to be the dollar. And that was tied closely to oil. Now, there's got to be a connection there, because we could have got off that oil spigot a long time ago. All right, we'll pick up this conversation with Galen Ross, author of his new work called What the Elite Have Done to America and How to Fix It. By the way, there's a little artist rendition of a open-end wrench cranking on the upside-down American flag, and we all know what that means. We'll be right back.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasemedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasemedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
There are many types of storable foods, but how about a superfood that contains every nutrient that the human body needs for survival? 50% protein, 300 milligrams of potassium per ounce, and calcium and magnesium for your heart and bones, with many more nutrients found in this incredible food source that the government does not want you to have. This product is available in powder, seeds, and oil, and is shipped free to your door in the U.S. This product is illegal to grow in the U.S., but is legal to import. Don't waste time thinking about storing food. Plan ahead and prepare for yourself and your family now, and be in control of your destiny. You can save and invest your money, but in the end, food will be your greatest asset. Remember what the Word of God says in Ezekiel 7:19. Call 908-691-2608 and see what the powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Remember, food will be your greatest asset. Call 908-691-2608. This product does not contain THC. Call 908-691-2608 today.
Crown, another ragtag band declaring independence. Laid their bodies down on a bloody wall.
All right, we're back. As I started to say, Galen, we've had World War One and World War One Part Two. Any war, there is always the bankers. And they never wear the white hats or the black hats. They're just the business people that are there to loan money to governments. Too much caffeine today. in order to do what they need to do in their own national interest. We've got the Middle East scenario going on. Supposedly, we went after Saddam Hussein because, well, he was a madman and killed some of his own people. What page is that? Okay. Here, you keep your own book. I'll refer to the one you gave me. And we're fighting wars, very expensive wars. Expensive in a lot of different ways, not just in money, in personnel, and more importantly, the intangible view of the world of us.
Right.
Supposedly we're empires.
The world essentially hates us.
Pretty much. Whereas before we used to be the envy of the world because when people came here, they could worship the way they wanted. They could live the way they want. They could believe what they want. They could earn money, and they could do it all under the blanket of freedom and liberty. And if people don't know what that is, that means the government staying the hell out of your business and not sending the dogs after you at the point of a gun, if necessary, as they've done with the IRS, FBI, and a sundry other groups out there. Now, having said that,
if you look at the chart on page 52 and 53, since 1900 up to year 2008, we have had 654,937 men and women die, 1,166,000 wounded, and we've committed just over $9 trillion in debt for wars of all kinds. Now, the bankers finance both sides of every war, and then they finance the reconstruction of nations destroyed in wars. That's the reason we have wars.
At interest.
At interest.
We get to blow it up and then rebuild it at the expense of the people that are generating the sweat, the blood, and the tears to make the stuff that is marketable, that's worth something, to go in and redo what are... Oh, God.
And the first person to be named Rothschild, his wife was a goodly snapper, and she once said, if my sons did not want wars, there would be none. That's on page 49. And so at that time, her five sons were in charge of the banking centers of the five primary banking areas within Western Europe. And there's another fellow that said, long-running joke is not without any function. There was a prince says, you can make war in Europe. You cannot make war in Europe without permission of the Rothschilds.
And everybody knows the story about the French and the English when they were going at it.
Right.
And how Rothschild walked in there and cleaned house on the London Exchange. Whew. They're devious, folks. You got to kind of, in a way, admire them of their just absolute imagination. But more importantly, the mechanization, how they pull this off at the expense of everybody else. And I mean everybody. Not just you here today, but the successive generations around the world to come.
They were able to do it because everybody's indebted to them.
There you go. Second hour coming up with Galen Ross.
With recent